Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. A cheeseburger is awesome, but it's even better with bacon. This is The Jeff Blair Show, topped with a sizzling slice of Stephen Brunt. Fill your face. On Toronto Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt. Kevin Barker's here, so we can now announce that Baseball Central will be on at 11 o'clock today. Nelson Figueroa Jr., New York Mets analyst for SNY, joining us. The Blue Jays beat the Yankees 8-4 last night. Devin Travis returning to the lineup. Troy Tulowitzki out with a quad injury. Coincidence or not, Ryan Goins, as my friend Mr. Brunt said, had his best swing of the year. Got things started for the Blue Jays. Marco Estrada just, like, shadow boxed. Every time I watch Marco Estrada start, every time I watch him pitch, I come up with, like, three other reasons he might be one of the pitchers I enjoy watching more than anybody else. And, of course, Russ Martin had a couple of home runs. Jays win 8-4. Series wraps up today at 4 o'clock on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Do we have Mr. Davidi with us? Then let's bring him in. Shai Davidi, how are you, sir? Still talking to Travis.
Travis is a social animal.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. He's No. God, I wouldn't want to go clubbing with Travis. I'm surprised Travis wasn't at the casino. Of course, if he was at the casino, he'd be talking so much nobody could play the freaking card games. Hello, Shai.
Hello.
You talked more to Travis than we do.
Well, he was he wanted to run through Raptors when I was there on Monday night. God. And so we were exchanging stories on Channing Frye's one of Channing Frye's interesting quotes that can't be repeated on air.
Okay. By the way, your basketball debut was noted.
It was tremendous. Yeah.
So yes, you're multifaceted. You have more than one facet. But I already knew that.
Well, I was kind of the secondary guy on Raptors in my last year at CP. So the last time I'd covered a basketball game was 2011. My last assignment at Canadian Press actually was a Raptors-Spurs game before I left to join Sportsnet. So a little nostalgic for me.
Really?
You're not nostalgic about working for a wire service. You are not.
Okay. You are not. Stop it.
I'd just like to point that out. Just a little honesty check there. Because, you're in a better place, correct?
No, of course.
Yes. Yeah. You have to say that.
That's... But a wire guy at the beginning, you never forget where you came from, right?
That's true. You never forget your first. Anyhow. So Russ Martin, two home runs last night. A guy who, as Stephen and I were talking in the last hour, I mean, a guy who really owned the Yankees last year offensively. Was a huge reason that the Jays had so much success against the Yankees, and that success ultimately, I think, is the reason the Jays won the division. What was the difference with Russ Martin? What was his explanation for last night's game compared to, the fact that he'd gone 2 months without a home run?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly was a long time coming. It's not only that hasn't had the home runs. I mean, those were just the second and third extra base hits of the season as well. I mean, there's been virtually no slug from him up until last night. And he said that he'd made a couple adjustments at the plate, that he started feeling really good in Minnesota over the weekend. And when you see, I mean, he had a home run to left and a homer to right. And when he's going to right field with pop, then makes you think that he may have turned the corner, because that's sort of when he's at his best. And he's got a lot of power in the opposite field. You know, John Gibbons said that he might have the most opposite field power on the team. Which I thought was interesting, but it was going to turn at some point, right? He wasn't going to have no home runs all year, but the game against the Yankees at a good time, because they had the two hits the previous night and they looked absolutely awful against Eovaldi in the bullpen, and they did what they needed to do against Ivan Nova and the Yankee secondary relievers.
I don't want to overstate it, but I think Russ Martin is an emotionally complicated guy. and which in a way that doesn't come out when he's doing a post-game clip for TV or something, because he always, you know, he smiles and kind of says the same thing, and like a lot of athletes do. But I think I'm guessing that Russ Martin has been quietly and silently suffering a lot in these first 2 months of the season because of his struggles at the plate. He's just, I think that, you know, still waters run deep in a way, right? And I you know, you can tell me if I'm wrong about that, but I just think that this has probably been a very, very tough first 6-8 weeks of the season for Russell Martin, you know, behind closed doors privately.
Oh, for sure. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And you know, I think it would have been easier for him to take if the Blue Jays were playing better and he didn't have the offensive numbers. But, you know, when you pair the two together, there's a ton of frustration. And, you know, I talked with him, I don't know, probably about 3 weeks ago now, and it was sort of shortly after the neck thing had gone away, and he said that he felt like he started to turn the corner physically, that his legs were there in a way that there weren't. It wasn't just the neck, but his legs, he had good energy in his legs. And I think you've seen him be a bit more athletic and energetic on the field in recent weeks, but it still hadn't translated to the box. And when then again, you factor in the team struggles and or inconsistencies and everything, and I think you're right. It was eating away at him, and he was trying. I mean, a lot of these guys are trying, and you know that old adage, maybe you know, you try too hard in baseball, it only makes things worse, and that may very well be where this team is. But you know, there was a bit of relief. You know, he cracked a couple of jokes at his own expense, saying you know he generally prefers hitting his first homers in April as opposed to late May. But you know that's where he's at right now. But there are 4 months remaining, and there's ample time for him to recover. And I think for fear of the Blue Jays, that's what you hang on to. That there's still a lot of time to pull your numbers up and have a reasonable season.
Shy, Marco Estrada last night. I just mentioned this a little bit with Brent. You know, look, Marco Estrada. Obviously, we know he's not a velocity guy, but there are times where I admire and like watching him pitch as much as anybody on this team. You know, even as much as Sanchez and Stroman, who've got great stuff, just because you get the impression it's almost like you're pitching along with Marco. Like he's a guy that in the middle of the game, at least I find myself kind of going, okay, come on, get this over with. You know, like get this pitch over. And he's easy to like as a guy as well, which makes it easy. But that was a battling performance, because the worst thing if you're the Blue Jays. The worst thing if you're the Blue Jays is if that was the game where Marco Estrada couldn't make it out of the fourth inning and you had to go to the bullpen.
Right, especially when they only have six men in the pen.
Yeah.
And you've got an early afternoon game the next day. I mean, that's a bad combo. It would have precipitated a roster move afterwards. So you're right. But to me, that was most evident in the third inning when the Yankees loaded the bases with nobody out. You know, like a couple little singles and then pass ball and then the walk. And if the Yankees open it up there, then, you know, the Blue Jays are probably in some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he gets a soft fly ball from Ellsbury. Gardner beats out a fielder's choice to score one run. If it's anybody other than him that's running, it's probably two, and he's out unscathed. And then the Blue Jays were able to respond the inning after. And that swing, I thought, was really important in the game. And it was pivotal in his outing. And it's funny because, you know, you think, oh, everyone's always excited to see the great group pitchers with great fastballs and just blow by guys. But, you know, to your point earlier about how fun it is to watch him pitch, I mean, just seeing that changeup is great entertainment value, because it's such a ridiculous pitch. But he wasn't at his best. He was able to fight through it and contain the Yankees lineup, which is exactly what they needed him to do.
You know, I was thinking, you know, with the Devin Travis promotion, Shai, you know, the one thing you can say about the Shapiro-Atkins administration with the Blue Jays and the difference, one of the key differences between them and at least Alex Anthopoulos in the last year and a bit that he was there, is they're going to be very conservative with young players. And where you can see it, where they position some of their prospects in the minors, they dropped some guys back this year. They've held some guys back in terms of what level they've pitched at. They're not going to they don't fast track. They're not fast tracking anybody right now. And this is the first thing I've seen. And I know Devin Travis has played in the major leagues and he was very effective when he was up last year before he got hurt. But you know, he hadn't really settled in AAA on the rehab. He certainly wasn't tearing it up. This is the first time where I've sensed a little bit of, you know, desperation, just you know, what the hell? A sense that this stretch of the season is important. Obviously, Tulowitzki gets dinged, so that maybe accelerates things a little bit. But
desperation from the front office.
From the front office, okay. Just saying, what do we got to lose? You know, let's give this a shot, because if we don't get things straightened out in the next couple of weeks, the season might be gone.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. And you know, Travis isn't coming up if not for the Tulowitzki quad thing. Because you know he fields a ground ball the eighth inning in Columbus for the first out of the inning, and then all of a sudden he's being called off the field, and he's like, "Wasn't I supposed to be playing nine? What's going on?" And then you know does the math, sees what happened to Tulowitzki, and understands what's going on. So I mean, this wasn't in the plan, but I think if it wasn't going to be yesterday, it was going to be probably Friday or in the next few days. And so you get to that point, you're like, all right, well, we can't mess around. We can't be short an infielder, and we don't want to DL Troy Tulowitzki. So the only way to day-to-day him is to add another infielder. And I think, too, it's just Tuesday night, they just look dead. Mm-hmm. You know? And a good pitching performance can do that to you, and you don't want to read too much into it. But, you know, a couple guys afterwards are saying, you know, we need a bit of a spark. We need something to give us some life. And Devin Travis is he's not like a big, huge personality type, but he's a really positive guy. He's energetic. He's always smiling. And, you know, I think that was a good thing for the room a little bit. And, you know, he didn't he got a pretty generously scored single last night.
Yeah.
But that was a big thing. Is it put two guys on, gave Ryan Goins an opportunity, and he delivered a 2-run double, and the Blue Jays haven't seen too many of those. So, you know, you're right. I mean, this is clearly a big evaluation period. You know, they've got they're in the midst of 12 against the Yankees and Red Sox right now. They've got 7 of the 10 that follow with the Orioles. And they're not going to win the division over this next span, but they can certainly lose it.
Shai, I know that you wrote about this yesterday, but Jay Happ is starting today. Aaron Sanchez bounced back a day. Is that just part of the, I think John Gibbons told us, if I'm not mistaken, last month that basically they were going to try to find a day a month for Aaron Sanchez and hope that at the end of the season, you know, that kind of gives them extra time. Is that what this is all about, simply, with Sanchez? Or was there a matchup thing at work?
It's mostly the former and a little bit of the latter.
Okay.
You know, like Red Sox are predominantly right-handed, and not that J-Hap can't handle right-handers, but you know the Yankees are mostly lefty switch.
Right.
So it makes a bit more sense to have the lefty versus the Yankees at Yankee Stadium, and then have Sanchez take on the righties at home against the Red Sox.
Has there been any talk about doing what they did earlier in the season with Drew Hutchison, who's pitching really well in Buffalo right now, by the way, but bringing him up and pushing the entire rotation back a day just to give everybody a spell and to save some of Sanchez's innings?
Yeah, they're talking about doing it at some point later next month, later in June. They have a bit of a longer stretch after a couple off days, and then they were going to drop. They're talking about dropping him in at some point. I don't know if they pinpointed the exact date down yet, but you know, I mean, the Blue Jays have done that with great success. It's not exactly a great reward, but at least it's something for Drew Hutchison while he's toiling away in Buffalo to, I don't know if necessarily lift his spirits is the right words, but you know, to give him some encouragement and give him something back while he's toiling away.
Aaron Loop, how close is he to rejoining this team and maybe helping out the bullpen?
My guess is that he's going to, as soon as Troy Tulowitzki is through the quad thing, that we're going to see Loop back here. You know, apparently the reports are good. He's thrown consecutive scoreless innings on rehab for the Bisons. And, you know, I think right now they're just waiting for the roster spot to settle down. And, you know, once they know that Tulowitzki is ready to go, they've got too many middle infielders right now. So you figure Ryan Goins is going to end up the odd man out.
Is Biagini the eighth inning guy now, effectively, Shai? Because I know, you know, he's been terrific, but especially for a guy who hadn't pitched above double A until this year. And I know, you know, John Gibbons' trust in him has grown tremendously since spring training. Plus, he doesn't have a lot of alternatives that he trusts right now. So is he the guy until further notice?
I think when He's probably the number one option right now. He's going to be unavailable today, so he's thrown a couple in a row.
Yeah.
So Gavin Floyd would probably be the eighth inning guy today if they need one. So there's still a little mixing and matching, but it is amazing how quickly his stock has risen. And the faith in a guy with limited experience, but it's really because the Blue Jays, they're just searching for the hot hand, and whoever happens to be throwing the ball well right now, that there's no fear of throwing that person out in a tight spot, just because nobody has really taken the job and run with it, and that's been one of the primary problems for this team.
You know, one thing I do want to ask you about before we let you run, because I've heard this woman's name come up a couple of times, and I know that she was involved in the rehab for Marcus Stroman. But Nicky Huffman really seems to be, you know, if you listen to Devin Travis, certainly played a significant role in his recovery. Was she hired as part of the sort of Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins emphasis on sports science? How did this come about?
I may have my timing off, but I believe that she was hired a little bit before that.
Okay.
You know, the relationship really started when Marcus Stroman was at Duke, because she was at Duke,
right?
With the team there that helped Stroman in his recovery, and at the time the Blue Jays liked so much what they saw that they were expanding sort of a partnership there, and then they ended up bringing her and a couple other people over.
Okay.
So I'm not sure about the specific timing. It was at some point during the off season, but she has become a very, very valuable member and earned a lot of players' trust. And it's funny listening to Travis say about how far she's managed to push him, and mm-hmm. Stroman said the same thing. You know, she's apparently pretty tough on those guys. And really, there's been some good results out of it so far.
Shy, we're going to let you scoot. Appreciate you doing this. What are you going to do before you go to the ballpark? You're going to squeeze lunch or something in, aren't you? Or a run? I bet you've probably already run, have you?
No, I slept in a little bit today. I'm going to go run probably right now.
Central Park or what?
Central Park. We'll see how far I go. May do the whole park, maybe a bit less.
Attaboy. Have fun. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Shy Davidi.
See, there's a guy who wasn't hanging out in casinos last night.
No.
He's bringing it.
That is, by the way, that is one of the truly great experiences. Even if you're a crappy runner like me, is going for like even a slight jog in Central Park. It's right. Remarkable. So, again, I
don't like putting too much stock in body language and mm-hmm. things like that. But I'll tell you, you could see the monkey falling off Russ Martin's back last night as he rounded the bases. You know, he is a guy that he kind of bears the burden sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that doesn't mean he's going to necessarily go and tear it up, but you know how aware he was that he had not hit a home run this season, how aware he was that he'd only had one extra base hit, you know, mm-hmm. all of those kind of futile at bats, and every, you know, you could see the struggle, you know,
yep.
when he was standing in the box. So for, you know, that's why the second one to me, you know, the first one barely goes out in left field and you think, I heard Siddle's call. They replayed it this morning on, you know, I don't think everybody thought it would, so it looked like a fly ball to left
yep.
field, looked like he was going to be out. But that second swing to the opposite field, that's a Russ Martin swing from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he can't make that one if he doesn't make the first one. You know, like it's kind of, it liberated him a bit. So if he starts to heat up a little bit, you know, and it's a funny game yesterday. Because if your offensive heroes are Michael Saunders, Ryan Goins, and Russ Martin, you know, that's kind of mm-hmm. atypical for what the Blue Jays are supposed to be. But, you know, they won a lot of games last year when the offensive heroes were not Jose Bautista, Encarnacion,
yep.
or Donaldson.
You know, it's funny. I'm trying to figure out, and I know you spent a lot of time with Russ last year for the magazine article and for the documentary you did on him. And I remember interviewing him when he was just coming up with the Dodgers, and it was actually, I was doing a piece, Jim Tracy was the Dodgers manager, and I was doing a piece on Eric Gagne, And you know, Russ was in it, and Eric introduced him to me. Yeah, okay, this is great. And Jim Tracy was the Dodgers manager at the time. I went in to see him, and I knew him from his days as Felipe Alou's coach, and we're talking. And I said, yeah, I'm here to do a piece on Eric. He said, well, are you going to talk to the other kid from Quebec? I said, yeah. He said, the other kid from Quebec? He said, he's really good. And, you know, so, and I'd talk to Russ every now and then. I remember talking to Vin Scully about him one time. You go down and do a feature on him, and Vin Scully you know, was comparing him to every other Dodger catcher that he's seen, and he's seen every other Dodger catcher. There's something about him that makes you want to be emotionally invested in what he does. And I kind of feel that. And like I said, I haven't spent as much time around him as you have. But there's something about him that he's really likable, but you also feel kind of emotionally invested in, don't you?
Yeah, there's a lot cooking there. And look, there are some athletes, and you know this too. There are some professional athletes who are blessed with kind of obliviousness, right? They wake up every morning and it's like the world has started all over again, right? And they go out to the park and see the ball, hit the ball, catch the ball, and then they go to bed and the next day. And it's a great quality to have, even if it means, you know, perhaps you're not an entirely fully formed human being in other areas.
But it is.
If you're an athlete, it's the best.
Yes.
You know, every day, it's a new day. Russ isn't that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Russ isn't that guy, I don't think. And I think the wheels keep turning with Russ. You know, and again, I don't want to overstate what, you know, kind of my intimate knowledge of his thinking, but I think the wheels keep turning. And, you know, he comes from a fascinating and different upbringing.
He's a very intellectually curious guy.
Intellectually curious guy, product of two extraordinarily people who are his parents. And he's lived in different places and done different things. And he's not unidimensional for sure.
Mm-mm.
So, I think this is probably eating him up a bit.
Yeah.
You know, and sure, it's eating other guys up, and there are other guys who've struggled on this team. But you're right. You kind of zone in on him. If you know him even a little bit, you zone in on Russ and say, you know, I hope he's okay.
Yeah. No, that's exactly the way I feel about it. It's not even a matter of rooting for the guy or cheering for the guy. It's just you kind of hope he's okay.
Yep. I root for him as a guy. I like him very much.
Yeah. You know, it's like I always used to say, Ray Ratto, the terrific columnist in San Francisco, I can't take credit for this, but Ray Ratto always used to say that, you know what, baseball's better when Tim Lincecum's happy. For a variety of reasons. And I always kind of think baseball's a little better when Russ Martin's happy.
Yeah, good way. It's a good line by Ray, and it applies here. You're right.
You know what we haven't heard from in a while?
Who haven't we heard from in a while, Jeff?
We haven't heard from our friend, Mr. Dangle.
Oh, no, not another Dangle Dial.
Right on
the
cue.
Dangle Dial
right on
is brought
cue
to you by
right.
Panago Pizza. Something for everyone.
Let's see what this goes. Got to be Mitch Marner.
How about them Sharks? Oh, Jeff, we're down to three. The San Jose Sharks advancing to the Stanley Cup Final. It's
great
a big deal.
Beards.
Sorry for the Blues, but you have to give the Sharks credit, okay? And I think it was represented in their goal scorers from this game. Joe Pavelski, with the first goal of the game, he was an amazing late-round draft pick. Logan Couture, with their last goal of the game, he was a great first-round draft pick. Joel Ward, he was a great older free agent signing. Jonas Donskoy, he had a goal too. He was a great younger free agent signing. Even more heartbreaking for the Florida Panthers, who fleeced the Vancouver Canucks yesterday, by the way. But they're going to have to cringe a little bit at the fact that they drafted Jonas Donskoy and just relinquished his NHL rights. And the Sharks swoop in, and they took care of business, and they get him. I haven't even talked about the goalies yet. Yeah, Martin Jones, he's pretty good, whatever.
James Reimer! There you go, James Reimer.
James Reimer, because the Sharks go to the Stanley Cup Final, the Leafs get a third-round pick in 2018.
Even I knew that was coming.
Instead of a fourth-round pick. I know that doesn't seem like a huge deal, but it is. It is to me, if you're hardcore. Speaking of hardcore, that's what Game 7 is going to be, between the Lightning and the Penguins. I don't know who to pick.
Oh, come
on. Go with former Leaf Phil Kessel or future Leaf Steven Stamkos? I just don't know.
Go with Phil the Thrill. Phil the Thrill. Phil the Thrill. Pittsburgh wins 5-2. Kessel gets two goals.
I don't know. I will not count out those Lightnings.
And in the final, Martin Jones gets hurt really early. James Reimer comes in and plays goal. And the final is decided on a penalty shot with Phil Kessel coming in against James Reimer.
And Dangle's head explodes, right? Just before it.
At that point, the world ends. At that point, a totally different time-space continuum. Just boom, the world ends.
By the way, you know we cursed the Toronto Marlies with that interview with Kyle Dubas yesterday.
Yeah,
like,
wow.
They came home and got smoked.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say about the Hershey Bears? You can check out the Steve Dangle blog at sportsnet.ca or Steve's videos and podcasts, including Steve's one-on-one with Blue Jays third baseman and American League MVP Josh Donaldson. So let me get this straight. Now that hockey's winding down, Dangle's going to start talking to baseball players. That's awesome. So we're going to run the Dangle dial, like, even when hockey's over.
Hockey's never over.
He's still my
Don't you understand here. That? Hockey's never over. We're going right from the draft this year to World Cup training camp.
I forgot about that. Yeah, well, I think the World Cup training camp starts in 3 weeks, doesn't it? I think it does.
Do we have a show? We probably have a show.
And I think there's, if I'm not mistaken, the first exhibition game is the Young Guns against Team Europe, I think on July 4th. Anyhow, we're poking fun at it. We're looking forward to it. I am looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I want to know what the anthems are going to be. We're going to have a contest to pick the anthems for the Young Guns. What do you care if anybody's announced the rosters? Ren Lavoie is our NHL insider at TVS Sports. He will be on the scene tonight, Game 7, Lightning and Penguins. As Mr. Brunt pointed out earlier, a lot of chatter that Steven Stamkos is going to return to the lineup tonight. What a great story if that happens. Ren Lavoie joins us when the Jeff Blair Show with Steven Brunt continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, so this is kind of silly, but you know, we were talking about the World Cup of hockey, and Brunt kind of made a comment about, you know, when are we going to have our World Cup of Hockey show? World Cup of Hockey roster show is confirmed for tomorrow.
Tomorrow? See, I didn't know it was that soon.
6 o'clock.
Gather the kids around the TV set.
There's something else.
You kind of assume certain things are going to happen.
Oh, sorry. Anyhow, so there you go. World Cup of Hockey roster show confirmed for tomorrow. Don't forget. What?
Yeah. No, you're
right on. Yeah. No.
Brandeo is on top of these things.
Derek Brandeo is on top of these things. Got the Indy 500 this weekend as well. Forgot about that.
James Hinchcliffe on the pole.
Hinchcliffe on the pole. That's on Sportsnet 360 in the Sportsnet Now app. Okay, do we have Mr. Ren Lavoie here, Travis, or are you just chatting with him? Travis is, yeah, he is. God, Travis.
He's an active social life.
Yeah, he's just, it's like, do you think he got beaten up a lot as a kid in high school?
No, he's way too nice for that.
I guess. Anyhow, here's Ren Lavoie, our insider in TVS Sports. How you doing, Ren?
I'm good, you guys?
We're doing well. What do you and Travis chat about when you chat to him? What do you talk about?
With who?
Okay.
I miss the start of what you were saying.
Well, I thought because Travis McKenzie, my producer, he has this thing where, you know, Travis likes to, he's a conversational guy, you know, and he likes.
Yeah, he is. Well, we're always talking about good things, you know, life. That it's important just to understand where am I, first of all, in this world.
Yes.
Yes.
And obviously, how's his life, actually. So he loves working with you guys. So.
Oh, I know. Well, I know he doesn't. We love having him. Like I said, he's like my illegitimate son. That's the way I look at him. Before we talk about hockey, by the way, I do want to tell the story about Travis. Travis is famous for his emails that he sends to people thanking them for coming on. Usually they're about 14 paragraphs. John Farrell was manager of the team here. John Farrell got one of Travis's emails one time, you know, thanking him. John Farrell, after one of his news conferences, said to me, Jeff, can you wait around for a minute? And I figure, okay, I must have pissed him off and done something. I said, can you tell Travis that I love him, but all he has to do is send along an email that says thanks? Or better yet, I'll just assume that he's thankful. Anyhow.
See, that says more about John Farrell than about Travis. It does. What I would say.
Steven Stamkos, does he play tonight?
I have a lot of doubts that he's going to play tonight. Why I'm saying that, it's not about his health. I wonder if it's more about insurance. I wonder if it's more about politics. You know, you look at his situation, you look at him on the ice, he could play any minute. But he needs to sign a waiver, obviously, to come back. And when you sign a waiver, you're exposing yourself to a lot of problems, as you know. So it's complicated. This is the only way to see it. It's really him talking to the doctors. He met actually six doctors already.
Mm-hmm.
They have different opinions. You have a red light doctor. You have a green light doctor. And it's such a tough spot for him. That being said, if he's not playing tonight, okay, that doesn't mean he won't play in the final. And that's how I see it, to be honest with you. I think, is it a question of days? Probably, in his case. So the Lightning needs to win. Same thing on Ben Bishop. We don't expect Ben Bishop to be in net tonight. So I don't expect many changes on the Lightning side. I'm watching the Penguins practice right now, and there's no change in the lineup. It's same lines, the same pair of Vs, Matt Murray and Matt. So at 11:30, we'll have a better idea of what's going on with Steven Stamkos. But I don't think that the expectations are really high to see him tonight.
What do you think? Now, I know they probably aren't talking about this openly, Ren, but what do you think the organization, the team's position is in terms of that liability issue? Are they saying to him, it's saying if you get a doctor who green lights you and you're willing to sign a waiver so you take full legal and economic responsibility for whatever happens to you at a time when your free agency is pending, we'd love to have you, but if you can't do those things, especially if you can't I'm wondering how much liability they are willing to assume if he finds a doctor who says you can play.
The thing is here, we're not talking about an elbow injury or a shoulder injury. We're talking about life and death.
Yes.
This is the big problem. You know, I start by saying that it's more politics and insurance and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's more about life and death. What happens? What happens if he received a puck in the head, or he's receiving an elbow in the head, or he's cut by a skate? What's going to be the problem? And there'll be a problem. You know that for a fact. Chances are low that it's going to happen. But it's the contact game. You have to expect or that something will happen at one point. And imagine how tough it will be if something bad happened on the ice. So I think it's more about that right now than signing a waiver. It's really tough for him. You see that he's struggling with it mentally. Obviously, he's coming to the rink with a smile every day. But deep down inside, it's painful. You want to win a Stanley Cup. You want to have the chance to raise that Stanley Cup and to say, I'm a winner. You have to play for doing that. Not only in the regular season, but you need to do it in the playoffs. And for him right now, he's watching his teammates playing really well, and the inside of him, it's burning. There's a burning desire for him to play, but he can't because he's going to expose his body to big problems. So mentally, it's tough. And like I said, he met a doctor actually here in Pittsburgh who's a specialist because of all the blood clot issues with the Penguins, and that was Monday of last week. And remember at that time, if you go back at that time, he said that there's a chance that he could play game three or four at home. And after that meeting with that doctor, the language changed totally. So I think that was a red light doctor and not a green light doctor.
But, Ren, the Lightning must, there's a parallel situation, sort of parallel, not totally the same, but with Chris Bosch and the Miami Heat this year, where Chris Bosch wanted to come back and play, and eventually the Heat said no. It's not going to happen. And there are questions now whether Chris Bosch will ever play again. But it seems to me that the Lightning are at least leaving the door open here, that they haven't said no. This is too much of a risk. You're not going to play.
That's why I really think that if you're looking at Andrei Vasilevsky's situation, who's exactly the same as Steven Stamkos, it's not a blood problem. Okay, it's not like Pascal Dupuis. Mm-hmm. Pascal Dupuis' issue is his blood. Okay,
On Vasilevsky and on Stamkos, it's about repeating the same movement all the time, okay? So now when you're looking at Vasilevsky, I think he came back. I don't have the exact amount of days. Was it 50 or 55 days? But Steven is really close to that. He's like maybe a week away from that. So that's why I'm saying that he's looking at Vasilevsky. He's looking at his situation, and he's saying to himself, this is what I need to focus on, because the reality is nobody knows, okay? But it worked for Andrei Vasilevsky. If it works for Andrei, it works for me. So that's the way he's seeing it right now.
Ren, in the other series, the San Jose Sharks have finally advanced to the Stanley Cup Final. This, I get the sense just from, you know, Twitter and going online and reading some stuff, this is a popular result, isn't it? There are a lot of people in hockey who are happy to see Joe Thornton finally, for example, finally get his day.
And it's a lesson to be learned, I think, for a lot of organizations. They stayed patient with their GM. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All the rumors last summer that they were going to fire him. It's not the case. Now he's going to the Stanley Cup Final after the debacle, and you know, in the playoffs, years after years, they stay confident in the way he works, and now it's paying. And that says a lot. That says a lot about all those organizations who loves to do changes after 2-3 years if it's not working. It's going to work at one point if you have the players in front of you that are willing, first of all, to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And are they talented? You know, what's their skill level? They have tons of skills. And so that's why I'm looking at the Pittsburgh Penguins right now skating. And everybody's saying, like, I saw rumors yesterday that Evgeny Malkin's going to be traded. Why?
Right.
Why would we do something like that?
Right.
Why? I mean, because it's not working the way you want it. No. Evgeny Malkin's a great hockey player, and he's gonna help you maybe going to the Stanley Cup Final again. So stay patient, okay? And I mean, if you have good people on the ice, good people off the ice, it's going to work. So I'm happy to see Joe Thornton actually going there. And because, you know, you cannot have a career like that and not going to the Stanley Cup Final. It's not. It's a waste of time and a waste of talent.
It's a pretty intriguing run. It's going to be a pretty intriguing Stanley Cup Final matchup, no matter which of the teams comes through tonight, right? It's going to be a very difficult one to handicap. A lot of interesting elements there. Like, San Jose is going to be a tough out, obviously, if Martin Jones playing the way he's playing as well. They are terrific and kind of battle tested now. But you know, I'm not sure, you know, which way I would tilt with Pittsburgh versus them or Tampa Bay versus them.
You know what? You look at the Pittsburgh Penguins D. There's some problems there. They're thin, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy with Trevor Daly out. He's not going to play in the final anyway. You see that there's maybe some problems there. That's not a problem for the Tampa Bay Lightning, but Andrei Vasilevsky, even if everybody's praising his play, and I understand why, because he's making big saves, but it's a minimum of 3 goals per night. Minimum. So you're not going to win the Stanley Cup Final in the Stanley Cup Final if you're allowing 3 goals every night.
Right.
A minimum. Not versus the Sharks. Impossible. So that's why Ben Bishop needs to play. And Ben said to us 2 days ago that he feels he's going to play in the Stanley Cup Final. He's getting closer and closer. The pain is not there as it was maybe a week ago. So that's better. But they need Ben Bishop, because even if they have great Ds, okay, they need to have their number one goaltender in that to hopefully win that Stanley Cup.
Monsieur Lavoie, appreciate you doing this. Enjoy Game 7, and we look forward to doing it again next week.
Yeah, for sure. It will be in San Jose, Pittsburgh, or I guess Tampa.
That wouldn't be bad. San Jose is not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. 3 good cities. I can't complain. I won't.
Take care, Ren.
See you soon.
Ren Lavaz, our NHL insider, Tavia Sports.
Fishing's good in Tampa this time of year.
Fishing's good in Tampa. Tampa, the city of Tampa itself, is kind of underrated. There's a lot of neat little places to go, actually. Pittsburgh is, but Pittsburgh is a hidden gem, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. It's one of the best road cities in the United States. And San Jose, I've never been to San Jose, but you're close to San Francisco.
You're too far from San Francisco.
How far are you from San
Francisco? Well, it's hideous traffic. Right, it's a tough.
They've got that train now, though.
It's a bit of a slog, I think. Yeah, it's not San Francisco.
It's
not like just let's go have dinner in San Francisco. It's not like being in Oakland where you could always say, let's go have dinner in San Francisco.
Yeah, let's get our police escort and go over to San Francisco to have dinner. Anyhow, game 7 tonight on CBC, 8 o'clock. Puck drop.
So it's all lined up perfectly, right? Baseball first pitch 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock baseball. Lightning Penguins.
Yeah, have a little quick dinner in between, and then you can goof off in it for almost an entire day.
That'd be perfect. And then, of course, tomorrow the Jays are home to start a weekend series with the Boston Red Sox. And
I believe there's a basketball game.
There's a basketball game. Did we ever find out how many people were actually downtown last night? Because there was the Raptors Jurassic Park thing. There was Selena Gomez, right?
And Beyonce at the Dome.
And Beyonce or Rihanna? Which one?
Beyonce.
Beyonce
at the Rogers Center, huh. Selena Gomez at the Air Canada Center, and a bunch of people standing around with Tim and Sid. That's a lot of people.
That is. What we get? And the Marlies at Rico.
That's correct.
Marlies at Rico. That explained why traffic.
The Marlies crowd was that. Why explained why traffic was terrible? Is that what you're saying?
No, just in general, it was the exits getting out were horrible.
Last exit to Hamilton.
Indeed, Mr. Brunt. Thank you for doing this.
My pleasure.
You'll be back tomorrow.
I will indeed.
You're going to listen to Mr. Barker and myself commit Baseball Central.
It's always the best part of my drive home.
Kevin Barker joins me. I think he's here. Oh, yeah, I can see him leaning back there. Kevin Barker joins me. You're number one, too, Kevin. Time for Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.